the time, this time that we have on the radio broadcast to talk to you about the things of God. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you call in your questions, and we go to God's Word for the answer. Go ahead and call your questions right now. The number is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. And we will go to God's Word for the answer to the question that lies on your heart today. It may be that during the course of the week you were talking to maybe a loved one, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend. And as you engage in discussions, you're talking about spiritual things, and you were just wondering, what does God's Word say about those things? It may be that you were brought up to believe something, and you always wonder, was that something that Mom or Daddy always said, or is this something that we find within the pages of the Scriptures? So call with those questions. It may be that you heard something today from the pulpit, and you're wondering, is that what the Bible says? We encourage you to call right now, and we will do our very best just to let the Bible speak. Again, that number to call in your question is 308-9564. That's 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now is your opportunity. The lines are now available, 308-WJNI. Now, you can text us as well if you'd rather. You can text us at, again, 843, that was the area code, 725-9283. And you can text in your question via the cell phone, and we will get it here in the studio, and we will answer it on today's broadcast. It is totally up to you how you want to communicate, and the question that you have is totally up to you, but the answers will be coming from God's Word. So please don't miss out on having your questions answered on today's broadcast. The voice line is 308-9564. And if by chance you call that number and it just keeps ringing, that doesn't mean we aren't here. It means we're talking to somebody else on the other line, and we will have to finish with them before we can click over to you. So that number is 308-9564, and just let the phone ring if you call and it's ringing. Now, there's two ways to ask your question. One, you can have your question written down and brought in to us, or you can also go live over the air. The choice is yours on how you want to communicate with us. The only thing we ask is if you do go live, we want to make certain that you give us your name and also be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be the delay and an echo and causing confusion. We do not want anything confusing because God is not the author of confusion, so we should not be bring a confusion as well. We just noticed that we missed a call. Go ahead and call right back while we were talking to the first caller. We apologize for that, but it just takes a few moments to get the question written down. So go ahead and call, and we will get your question on today's broadcast. 308-9564, that's 308-WJNI, and we'll be glad to answer your question on today's broadcast. Now, for those of y'all that have friends or relatives that are outside this area, we will be glad to, you can also let them know they can join us via the internet through our website at www.BibleAlone.com. And once you're on that website, if you have a computer, then you can also text us through that website. If you don't have a cell phone, you can just use the website itself. At the bottom of the first screen at BibleAlone.com, there is a button where you can text, and we will be glad to get your question via that method as well. But by all means, let's make certain that we get the answers to the questions that are on your mind on today's broadcast. Again, those numbers, 308-9564 is the voice line. Text line, 725-9283. And we will be glad to get your question, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick, you have the first question there?
I do. Ben calls in today, and Ben, we sure appreciate you calling in. Ben has a question about Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. And this is during the time of the creation, and you have the male and the female. God is making both the man and the woman, and the man would have a specific role to play. But likewise, also, the woman would have a role to play as well. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And it says verse 8, but I'm thinking you're probably thinking verse 18, where it says, and the Lord God says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, why do I think that it's supposed to be Genesis 2 and verse 18? Well, that's because your question says, in what way is she supposed to help him? And so one of the things we see is you have this garden, and God put them both in the garden there to tend the garden. So they both were to work together. And so what we do see from the very beginning, the marital relationship was supposed to be one where they would work together, as we see in Genesis chapter 2. Another thought that may be helpful to us is this idea of both the husband and wife is supposed to help each other in salvation. The husband is supposed to help his wife, and the wife is supposed to help the husband. There's a passage that talks about how that a woman may be able to, without a word.
1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1.
Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, how that a woman may be able to, without a word, convince her husband. And that is to say, to convince him to do the right things. And so just by her conduct, she is able to convict or convince her husband to do the things of God. And so in that respect, we see a woman being a help to helping her husband get to heaven. And likewise, the husband is to do the same thing for the wife. And so this idea of being a helper, the wife absolutely is to be a help. The Bible says comparable in that text in Genesis 2 and verse 18. Comparable to her husband. For as much as the husband is to be a help to the wife is to be a help to her husband. Most important thing is that they would help each other get to heaven. If in this life we miss out on heaven, we've just missed it out. I missed it all. And so husbands, aid your wives in getting to heaven. And wives, make sure you're aiding your husband in making it to heaven. Ben, we sure appreciate you calling in. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a Clayton calling in this afternoon to ask this question. Clayton, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for your desire to know what God wants, know what God says in his word. And so Clayton's question is there a difference between spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit? Well, that's a really good question. I can see how there may be some confusion along that line, but God's word will actually bring clarity to that once we see what the Bible says. We'll start with the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. Right after talking about the works of the flesh, he brings out in the right after that, he says the works of the flesh is verses 19 through 21. And then verse 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is, and then he names nine things that are the fruit of the Spirit being born in the individuals that are following after what God says. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so those things are the fruit of the Spirit. Each one of those are magnificent. Much can be said about any one of those nine things there. We have to have all of these in our lives if the Spirit is the one that's in charge of us. So we've got to be very careful about that and give attention to all of these things being in our lives. None of those are miraculous. All of them would be by the Spirit's leadership in his word to help us to be what God wants us to be. Now, that said, notice I use the word natural there. It doesn't say natural, but we can see there that that does come as we let God in his word lead us and mold us and shape us. It is a natural process. However, the Bible also speaks of the supernatural or that power that God promised to the apostles in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 46, 47 in there. And then also in Acts chapter 1, right before he ascended back into heaven, he said, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit, and thus they were to wait in Jerusalem for that day. Now, that miraculous work of the spiritual gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And kind of a coincidence, you'll find out that there are nine things listed there as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see if this list sounds the same. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 8, he says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues." So there's nine different things that are listed there that the Holy Spirit was able to impart to individuals. There was two ways that this was given. Jesus said, "I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth." There in that context of John chapter 12, 13, 14, he's talking to the apostles, 15, 16, those chapters in the Gospel of John. And so the Holy Spirit did come upon them in Acts chapter 2. They could see something that looked like tongues of fire. They could hear something that sounded like a rushing mighty wind, and they were empowered there. Now, that with the apostles, later John, Paul included in that number as one born out of due season, as he puts it, what that gave them the ability to do something talked about in Acts 8 and verse 18, that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. And thus someone tried to buy that power and was condemned. So, no, they're not identically the same. But those miraculous gifts that enabled them to do those things listed in 1 Corinthians 12 was for the purpose of getting us the Word of God, which enables the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So I hope that's not confusing, but keep in mind the passages. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, and 24, you see that that is the fruit of the Spirit, and thus that will be born by the Holy Spirit, but in following his word. And thus, he encourages us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That is our choice. So thank you, Clayton. I can understand why there might be confusion about that. But hopefully, as you continue in studying, you'll see the difference in those two passages. That's 1 Corinthians 12 and then also Galatians chapter 5. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. It's time for our first break. Remember, you can call the operator standing by and get this Bible correspondence course to you. If you've never received this, then you're missing a blessing. Maybe you may be missing things that you may not find anywhere else, because we live in a day and a time where the devil, the god of this world, is hiding a lot of things from us. And the only way to find it is directly in God's word. And that's where we want to send you through this course. Go to there for the answers. Get this course in the mail to you tomorrow. Did I mention it was free? It is. It'll be in tomorrow's mail if you go ahead and call the operator standing by. 553-5157. If the line's busy, just keep trying. You'll get through. Here are details on that. If you already have the course, go ahead and continue with your questions today, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're happy to be with you, and we are desirous of your questions right now as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. So don't miss out on getting your question answered from God's Word today. And please keep in mind, as we give you what the Bible says, it is not man. No one should be saying, "Well, they said on the radio." No, we want you to look into your word, your Bible, and see it for yourself so that you will know that it is what God's word said. And thus, when you and I stand before him one day, it will not be based upon what anybody said. Now, please, be ready. let's look and see what God says so that we might be able to honor him by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse. Go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564. Those lines are available right now. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
Jack calls in today. Jack, we sure appreciate you calling and listening. I'm sorry, Jock. I'm sorry. It's J-O-C-K. Thanks. He says, is musical instrument and clapping hands worshiping in spirit and truth? And so when we look in the scriptures, what we see in John, the fourth chapter, is that language of worshiping in spirit and truth. Is this what Jesus meant becomes the question. So we'll pick up the reading in John, the fourth chapter, in verse 22. Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, he says, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." And so here you have Jesus saying, as a Jew, we know what we worship. And as a Samaritan, they did not know what they were worshiping. His point is, it doesn't matter because there was going to be a change coming, verse 23. "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." And so Jesus is suggesting that the worship that they had under the law of Moses, and even the worship that the Samaritans engaged in, was not necessarily what he's referring to as true worshiper or true worship, but that was something that was coming. And those who would be partaking in true worship, or those who would be true worshipers, they were going to worship in spirit and truth. Now, that didn't happen until Jesus died on the cross and the ushering in of the new covenant. And so when we talk or we use the phrase true worship, as is applied here, it really applies to what took place in New Testament time as part of their worship. When we look at their singing, when we look at how they or the music they had, they did not engage in instruments of music. They did not engage in hand clapping. This is the example that we have or what we see in the church. And so those examples that we look to are Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and then also Colossians 3 and verse 16. In both of those passages, what it shows us is that the music that they used was they sang, and essentially they sang from their heart. They made melody in their heart to the Lord. And thus, those who are trying to follow that New Testament pattern, the pattern that the church did in the first century, they're going to do the same thing. Now, that's as far as we know based upon what's been revealed in the scriptures. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, it is open for your question to get to us. It is our privilege to be able to provide this service. So don't miss out on getting your question answered today. Once more, the voice line is 308-9564, or the text line is 725-9283. We have this question that's kind of a follow-up to the previous question I was asking. It's a text question from the last three digits of 597. We are glad to have you join us today, and it looks like, of course, from my record here, that you're with us every week, and we are so thankful that you are listening and that you are studying God's Word. Your questions do show quite a level of study, and I appreciate that very much. His question today is based upon Acts chapter 18, verses 14 through 17, where Peter came through. No, that's in Acts chapter 8, where they came through. It's actually Philip there. I was trying to remember the character. Philip came through the city of Samaria, was preaching the gospel, and thus the apostles heard that they had received the word of God, and they sent to them Peter and John, to the end that they may be established. And so when Peter and John came, it brings out that he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, then when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands on, they may receive the Holy Spirit." Well, then also in chapter 19, this student seems to know their Bible from that standpoint. They ask this question. In Acts chapter 19, we have that example again where they lay hands on someone, Paul in this case, and they receive the Holy Spirit. His question, why was it necessary for the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit in these scriptures? Is laying of hands still necessary to receive the Holy Spirit today? Well, good question, and you have actually just read the passage itself. Look at chapter 8 and verse 18, where Philip had already been doing miracles. He had already been able to do signs and wonders. He convinced a sorcerer to also believe in Christ. Both he and the city, men and women, were baptized into Christ. And thus, when Simon continued with them, he noticed when the apostles, Peter and John, came to town, something different. It says that when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So he offered them money trying to get the gift of God. He's rebuked for that, and that's another story. So how did Philip get to have this ability? Well, if you go back just a couple of chapters, you will see where there were seven men chosen there to take care of a problem that had occurred. And it says that they, in verse 6, Acts 6 and verse 6, that they set before those seven men, set them before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. The result, the word of God was spread, the number of disciples multiplied. We see Stephen preaching his fatal sermon in chapter 7 and was stoned for it. And then it picks up with Philip as well as one of those. There were five others. We do not have hardly any record on to what they did after that. But they could not pass that gift on because Philip was there. He was doing miracles. And they had to send Peter and John down to Samaria for them to be able to be established. And thus, that was something that only the apostles could do. Let me give you one more verse to look up. Romans 1 and verse 11, Paul said, I want to come to you at Rome that I may lay hands on you that to the end that you may be established, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that to the end you may be established. That's Romans 1 and verse 11. So he had to go to Rome in order to do that. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, that was Romans 1:11. Go ahead and look at Acts 8:18 again, and then also go back to chapter 6 and verse 6, and you'll be able to put all the pieces together. Thanks. That's a great question. We sure do appreciate it very much. Please continue to see what the Bible says, not what man is saying about it. So let's just look and see what the verses say themselves. Thank you very much. The number here is 308-9564. That's the voice line. You can go live on the air, or it can be written down and brought into us. It is your choice. The text line is 725-9283.
We have a call from Steve. Steve, we sure appreciate it. Steve has a question about Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. We'll see if we can't get this in before we go to our next break. Revelation 12, verse 5 says, please explain. When we look into the book of Revelation, the challenge with just taking a verse and giving explanation is that it is part of a broader portion of knowledge, if you will. And so it's difficult to just take one verse and run with it. What's clear about this particular text in Revelation 12, verse 5, that the child that it's making reference to may be referring to Jesus. And I think that's pretty clear to see. In verse 5, it says, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. The reason why I think we can be certain that it's talking about Jesus, when we reference other passages, for example, like Psalms chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, we find that language, a rod of iron, being applied to Jesus or the begotten of the Father. It says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. And so clearly that text is talking about the one that would be the only begotten of the Father, talking about Jesus. It's also referenced in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? He never said that to an angel. He said that to Jesus. And so it's fairly certain, and we can be fairly certain, that chapter 12, verse 5, when it talks about this child, is talking about Jesus. And that's probably as far as I'm willing to go without reading the rest of the context. But that should give you enough to if you look at the text and see that the child represents Jesus, you can apply the rest of what we know about Jesus and his life to that context. I sure hope that's helpful, Steve. We sure appreciate you calling in. It is time for us to take another break. And while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. The number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. If you wish to text us, you can. Go ahead and text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
To the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. We thank you for joining us thus far. And we are looking forward to your questions right now. If you would like to ask your Bible question, you can call the voice line at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And you would be next in line, by the way. So go ahead and call right now. Many of you know that at the end of the broadcast, the questions tend to pile up, and we have to carry some over sometime to the next week. So don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. So don't miss out, 308-9564. Or you can text us if you would rather. You can go to get your cell phone, and you can text us at 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. If you know people that are out of town or out of state or out of the country, you can send them to our website if you would desire, anywhere in the world. And they can join us by hitting the live stream button, and they will be able to listen to the broadcast anywhere in the world. Matter of fact, they can even text us from anywhere in the world. On that same page at the bottom, there's a little block that they can put their question into, and it'll come directly to us here at the studio via the text message. And so please send your friends to that location, and we will be glad to join them that way. Again, that number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We apologize. We just dropped the phone, it looked like, and so forgive us our dropping that, but hopefully it didn't bust your eardrum. We're glad to be able to join you, and we hope and pray that we are able to direct you to God's Word as we let the Bible speak.
If you are interested in an in-home Bible study, from time to time we try to make that available to our listeners. Depending upon your location and our availability, we will try to come out at maybe with you and some loved ones, some family members, or some friends. If you can get a group together, we'd be more than happy to sit down and open up the Word of God and study those things together. If that is something that you are interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by. Again, that number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. And let her know that you are interested in an in-home study. To call in your question right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in again from the, I guess maybe it may be the same caller, but someone else at least, asking this question. Is it still necessary to receive the Holy Spirit by laying on of the apostles' hands? Well, if there were apostles today, then that would be the only way to receive the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is there are no apostles today as far as the ones Jesus has sent. Those that claim to be apostles are not, and so you would need to make certain that who you are listening to is if they are an apostle. Now, that may be a surprise to some people. Let's see what the Bible says about who are apostles today. Well, when you go to Acts chapter 1, Judas had hung himself, And so they looked out to find one to take his place. They were directed through the scriptures to be able to do that. There was one to take his place. Peter here mentions that it was necessary for someone to occupy his place. And thus in Acts chapter 1, they looked out among them who were qualified for this. And I'm looking at Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office or his place. Psalm 100 in verse 8 is where he's quoting from. Therefore, of these men whom have accompanied us from the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day in which he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us. Notice the word must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so they were looking for an individual that had witnessed his glorified, resurrected existence here on earth. Later on, Paul, when he was born out of due season, he defends his apostleship with these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Jesus Christ, our Lord? And thus we can see there that was necessary proof for him to prove that he was an apostle. And then he goes on to say, if I'm not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship, or the confirmation, the certification of my apostleship in the Lord. For only an apostle could lay on hands and impart those spiritual gifts, Acts 8:18, and they were proof or the fruit of such a practice as that. So again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, and then also Acts chapter 1. So what is an apostle? One that has seen the risen Lord. So if someone today claims to have seen the risen Lord, I would dare say that you should hold them highly suspect, because it brings out that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul was the last one to see the Lord. As far as when he wrote that, it brings that out. And last of all, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time or due season, depending on your translation. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 8. So hopefully that is helpful to you. And so if there were apostles, yes, it would take that. But there are no apostles today. So we are all now brethren. We are all, no one is higher up than anybody else. Matter of fact, there's a case to be said that the apostles also were just brethren, and they were not supposed to be elevated as in rank as well. You never see them referring to themselves as the apostle Peter or the apostle Paul. So we're all brethren. Christ has all authority, and we need to make certain we do not take any of it away from him. Again, the number is 308-9564-308-WJNI.
We have another call coming in. The question is, what should a believer do if his wife no longer desires him in the intimate way? So when we look at the scriptures, what's clear is that spouses cannot deprive one another except for certain reasons. So that's what comes out. And God is not on board with spouses depriving one another. In fact, what you do, you set up a situation for sin to occur. And in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, what I would do is if my spouse is a believer as well, then I would show my spouse this passage. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. So one of the reasons to prevent sexual immorality, God says that a man should have his own wife, and a wife should have her own husband. So that's part of the marital relationship. And verse 3, it says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Some translation says due benevolence. You dig a little bit deeper, and what you'll find, it is talking about the intimate portion of marriage. that each, the husband and the wife, are to render to each one what is appropriate. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Verse 5 is key. He says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. For what? The reason for coming together again, he explains right here. He says, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so God does not permit this idea of being married and your spouse withholding themselves from you. God does not permit that unless you're giving yourself over to fasting and prayer. And this is something that's done because you both agree upon it. So my encouragement is, if your spouse is a believer, to show your spouse that passage. Another passage to consider, it sounds like you may be a male. If you are male or female, I encourage you to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and just make sure as a spouse you're doing all that you're supposed to be doing as a spouse. Husbands, God says a lot the ways on your shoulder. You have to make sure you're the kind of husband that's loving your wife like Jesus loved the church, and that you're nourishing your spouse, that you're giving your spouse what they need in order to feel intimate towards you. So also consider that as well. And again, that was Ephesians chapter 5. I would pick up in verse 25 and read to the end of the chapter. Now join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
It's about time for our next break. Let me go ahead and give this question, and then we'll go to our break and answer it when we return. This is an anonymous caller. They want to know, it says, are you saying that we can only sing and that there can't be any instruments of music or clapping? Well, good question. What we'll do is we'll go to the Bible for that question in just a moment, and we'll see what the Bible says, what God says, and thus that will be able to, we might be able to honor him better. And so stay tuned for that. We're going to be dealing with that question in just a moment. Please know, while we are at break, we can continue to receive your questions, 308-9564. But don't miss out on this free offer, Bible Correspondence Course. We are happy to send this to you. We see the calls coming in and people enrolling, so go ahead and don't miss out on this, and we will be glad to send this to you free of charge. By the way, have we mentioned that in this study, in this Bible study, you may discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before? Why? Because in a particular denomination, they have to operate in a way to where that they do not violate the parameters that define that system of belief. And so thus, there could be great areas of God's Word, vital areas of God's Word, that are never elaborated on and never discussed, simply because that doesn't fit into what defines them in that particular system of belief. So don't miss out on this. This is non-denominational. It just has nothing to do with denominations. Only thing that we want to promote is to get back to God's Word alone and let the Bible speak. So call the operator standing by right now, 553-5157, or call in your questions here at the station at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to take advantage again of the Bible Correspondence Course to find those things that are not commonly taught today by using the course to go through a study of God's Word. We encourage you to call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. To join us here at the station, go ahead and call in your question. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564, and we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. It may be difficult, some of the things that God's Word says, but we have to so prepare our hearts to hear it and thus to follow it. That's our encouragement to you as well as to ourselves. Let us all hold ourselves to the things that are revealed within the pages of the Scripture. 308-9564.
Now, please don't miss out on the Bible Correspondence Course we mentioned right before that break. There is an operator standing by, and so she can take your information, and this will get in tomorrow's mail absolutely free, because we just can't afford to stand before God one day and not know what He expects of us. He created us for a purpose. His purpose is expressed in His Word, and yet the God of this world, that is the devil, will do everything to keep that information from us. So please don't dare leave this life not knowing what God expects of us. Go ahead and call right now, 843-553-5157. Get this course in the mail to you. It is absolutely free. It is not a bait and switch to where that we'll ask you for your contribution later. You can ask any of our Bible students. We have never asked a penny from anyone at any time, and thus we are honored to give you this treasure free of charge, just like Jesus and the apostles did. So don't miss out. 553-5157. Before the break, we had this caller calling in saying, are you saying that we can only sing and there can be no instruments or clapping? Well, first of all, let me point out to you, as your question was written down, he said that he wrote it down just like you said. Are you saying? Whenever someone begins their question, whenever, at least we're in person, whenever they say something like that, we stop them because we don't want anybody to hear us. All we want is for people to hear what God says. The whole name of this program is called Let the Bible Speak. So please, if you were just listening to us, even if we taught truth, don't take our word for anything. See it for yourself. So please do not give us credit for anything. All we're wanting to do is to stay out of God's way and let His word be heard. So now with your question in mind, it says, are we supposed to sing? May I ask you, if you have ever been in a church where they practiced the Lord's Supper, let's see what you understand on how to discern what God's word says. In the practicing of the Lord's Supper, whether you do it once a month or once a year, when you did it, was there steak and ice cream on that table as well? Well, yeah, I agree. No, I've never seen a church do that. They always have just fruit of the vine. Sometimes they will make it fermented, but still it is fruit of the vine. And they will have unleavened bread. Sometimes it may be loaf bread. But they usually only have some kind of bread and some kind of fruit of the vine in liquid form. Now, with that in mind, why would they not put steak in ice cream? I had steak yesterday because it is Father's Day today. My wife took me out for a steak. So if we like steak so much, if you are a beef eater, then why not have it on the Lord's table? I mean, after all, wouldn't beef be a better representation of flesh than bread?
Yes.
Okay, so you get the point. Well, we wouldn't do that because God specified bread and fruit of the vine. And I would wholeheartedly agree with you that is exactly right. When God specifies something, that does not give us any liberty. We have no wiggle room by which to change it in any way. When God specifies something, He expects it to be exactly what He specified. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 10, verse 1 and 2, God specified where they were to get fire for the incense. Well, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took it upon themselves to change that some which God had not commanded. And God sent fire out and killed them. God specified how big the ark was to be, every measurement. And if He had changed that, well, we wouldn't be here today. So we can see that when God's people did exactly what God specified, He was happy. He didn't punish them. But like in King Saul's day, when God specified, everyone is to die. Well, King Saul changed that, and God took him out. He was no longer to remain king. His family was no longer to be the dynasty. Well, we can see He was not pleased with that. So when it comes down to your question, has God specified what kind of praise should be given to him? Well, we see that answered in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse, 15. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our drums. No, it doesn't say that. Piano, nope. Stringed instruments, nope. Cymbals, nope. You know what it says, fruit of the lips, giving thanks to his name. Well, that's pretty specific, isn't it? It sounds very similar to the element in the Lord's Supper, fruit of the vine. Now, if we wouldn't change fruit of the vine, why would we change fruit of the lips? Are we going to be consistent or not? So hopefully that is helpful to you. So we need to make certain it's not going to be fruit of the hands, such as clapping, but fruit of the lips. That is giving praise and thanks to his name. Because when you look at Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, God specifies that they are to sing and that they're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, that's pretty specific. So if we're going to reverence God's word and be consistent, then we need to be consistent here too. Thank you so much for your question. We are thrilled that you are listening. Thank you, and continue to listen week after week. Again, that was Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and Hebrews 13 in verse 15.
Well, Thelma calls today. Thelma, we sure appreciate you listening. Thelma says, Ephesians chapter 4 mentions apostles. So how are there not any apostles today? And the idea is, you know, I think on an earlier call, it was mentioned that there are no apostles, no living apostles today. And Thelma says, well, when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, apostles are mentioned. And I understand her to be making reference to verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so at one time, absolutely, God had apostles. And when we use that language sometime, it suggests that, well, that they don't exist any longer. And I would probably beg to differ. The work of the apostles still exists and will forever exist. God had a purpose behind an apostle. The word apostle means one sent forth. And they were sent out to be his ambassadors. They were sent out to carry the message. But more importantly than just carrying the message, they were sent out to be witnesses. And I think that's the key element. They were going to be eyewitnesses of Jesus. So in Ephesians, the third chapter, we just go back one chapter, we'll see that Paul says in verse 3, but how that by revelation he, talking about Jesus, made known to me the mystery. So Paul's an apostle, and he says that Jesus made known to him the mystery. And what he did with it, he says, as I have briefly written already, he wrote it down. In verse 4, he says, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So God revealed the mystery through the apostles and prophets, and what they did with it is they wrote it down so that when we read, we could have an understanding of their knowledge. So part of their purpose was to reveal the mystery. But no one would listen to them unless they could prove that they were with Jesus, because, you know, there are many people today that comes up and say that they are from Jesus. Yeah, I don't listen to them. The reason why we listen to the apostles is because they could give eyewitness testimony, eyewitness account. And this is what Jesus told them that they would do. We turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, that power that they received enabled them to do miraculous works, validating that they had, in fact, been with Jesus and that we could actually listen to what they had to say. He goes on to say, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It was God's intent that these apostles not just be the ones being a witness to the folks there at Jerusalem or Samaria or Judea, but they were going to be witnesses, yes, for you and I today. These same apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus, and we have a record of what they saw and of the things that they heard. And I will go on record to say this, that anyone today who is saved today, they are saved as a result of hearing the words of the apostles. Anyone today that is saved today is saved as a result of hearing the apostles. There's no one today that is saved without hearing the words of the apostles, because they are the ones that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are the ones that could testify by eyewitness account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus says it this way in John the 17th chapter. Jesus is praying to the Father. You look somewhere around John chapter 17, and in verse 6, Jesus tells the Father, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word, talking about the apostles. So Jesus says, I've given them what you gave me. And now he's praying for them. And as a result of praying for them, he says in verse 19, he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone. He's not only praying for the apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That would be anybody today who is saved, because the only way to be saved is by the words of the apostles. When Jesus put them in place, he put them in place to be in place for all times. I hope that's helpful in understanding that when someone today claims that they are an apostle, they are not. You can also look at Acts chapter 1, where they're replacing one of the apostles with someone, and the requirement somewhere around verse 21 and 22 was that they had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Look like it's time for us to take our break. And even while we're at break, we encourage you to call in your questions. 308-9564. We'll be right back. Listening today, we're hopeful that the things that we're sharing with you are a help to you as you continue your study as a student of the Scriptures. We want to again try to reiterate how important it is to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. That will be a help to you in your study of God's Word. So it's just a tool. So go ahead and call the operator standing by. Again, that number is 553-5157. 553-5157. It is not used to replace the Word of God, but it is used to help you in your study of the Word of God. Again, that's 553-5157. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
And by the way, they can study that course at any time they want to. They'll get it in the mail and be able to study it in the middle of the night, or if you get up early or late at night, you can study it any time you want to. And that is very helpful to some people that may have strange sleeping habits. And so don't miss out on getting that. 553-5157. We have this caller calling in this question to follow up about instruments of music. Let me quickly deal with this one. The caller wants to know, well, Psalm 150 is mentioning instruments of music. You're right. It mentions dance. It mentions a number of things in worship. So why didn't y'all refer to this passage as well as a passage in Hebrews? Good question. And please forgive me for leaving that gaping hole there. I should have thought of that, and I apologize for not touching on that. But I'm glad that you called and asked me about it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, that Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. Oh, what does that mean? Well, Colossians chapter 2 says that Christ, when he died on the cross, it brings out that the law, the ordinances were nailed to his cross. Having wiped out the handwritings of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, God in different times, different manners, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Matthew 17, when Jesus was up on the mountain of transfiguration, he was changed, met with Moses and Elijah. When Peter said, let me build a place for all of y'all, God overshadowed them and said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. The law, Moses, prophets by Elijah. No, now we listen to Jesus. So now we've got to listen to his word. So we can't go back to the Old Testament, lest we fall from grace. We can't defend ourselves from that. And we've got to study it. Romans 15:4, that's how we learn patience and comfort. That's how we learn a lot about what the New Testament is telling us. But when we stand before God in judgment one day, our practices, what we do, will be entirely based on what Christ tells us in his word, his covenant, his law, and that only is what we will be judged by. Not even the words of anybody on the radio. But when you look and see what God says in his word, that's what we're going to be judged by. So great question. That's why that we do not go by the Psalms anymore or the law or the prophets. We must give heed to Christ. He has how much authority? Yes, that's right. He's got all authority in heaven and on earth. So we've got to listen to him. So great question. Thank you. I just didn't even think about the hole that I had left there, and hopefully that will fill it in. Again, those verses were Colossians 2, 14 through 17, Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, Acts 17, first half a dozen verses there, and Galatians 5 and verse 4. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. Nick?
Leon calls today. Leon says Elohim and Yeshua are the original names of God the Father and God the Son. So why do people use the name Jesus Christ? Well, that's a good question for us to consider. Yeshua and Elohim, both of those are Hebrew words. Elohim and Yeshua, both of those are Hebrew words. And so it's only the name of God in Hebrew. We don't speak Hebrew today. We speak English today. And so we would refer to an English translation of those names. That's one idea. The second idea is that God's name is not isolated to those two references. For example, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you'll find a series of names referencing Jesus. It says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so here you have a series of names referencing Jesus. And so they said, this is whom he will be called. Another example of that would be Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I just referenced this from the Bible, several different names that we could refer to Jesus. And so it may be that trying to isolate Jesus' name to one reference is not appropriate. And maybe that's why people refer to God in different names, because we see different names, hundreds of different names used in the scriptures to refer to God, and several different names to refer to the Son of God. Very good question, though. We sure appreciate it. So join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Thank you again. We sure appreciate everybody that is joining us today, and hopefully this is being a blessing to you. We are trying to give you book, chapter, and verse on every question that comes in. And get your pencils ready for this next question. The questioner asks, if a pastor knows that a person is, they say, shacking up, I hate to put it that way, but can that pastor deny that person membership to the church? Well, first of all, you said if a pastor, that is a church having one pastor, that is foreign to the scriptures in and of itself. The only time the Bible talks about a leader in a church, a single leader in a church, it is not a good picture that is painted there, where Diotrephes forbid people from coming in the church. So it is never in the Bible, a church of the Bible is never described as a one-man rule-all system. Now, I say that except for Jesus Christ, of course. He is the man. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. But as far as us biological in the body believers here, the church is never to be ruled or overseen by a individual, no matter what you call him. So what does the Bible say? Well, it brings out from the very first time the word elders are mentioned in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 that Paul, as he went back on his return journey, it brings out that he went through all those cities and verse 23, appointing elders, plural, in every church and prayed with fasting. So there we can see those churches that were established through the preaching of the word were established as soon as possible with elders, plural. Now, they're also called pastors, shepherds, bishops, overseers, and presbyters. But none of those words are used in a capital way as if they are titles. Those are all descriptions of what these men are and what they're supposed to be doing. And so these overseers or shepherds or pastors were always plural. It was never a one-man show. Okay, now with that in mind, let's finish your question. If they know, I'm going to make it plural if you don't mind, if they know a person is committing sin, can they deny membership to the church? Well, in Acts chapter 9, I think we can find the only example I believe we have in the Bible where someone sought to join a local flock of people. In Acts chapter 9, Paul came back down from Damascus area to Jerusalem, and it says that when Saul had come to Jerusalem, verse 26, Acts 9, 26, had come down to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. So remember, he left town a couple of years before as a persecutor of Christians, so naturally they were afraid. But Paul took him and brought him to the apostles. They declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how that he had preached boldly in Damascus. And so it says that he was with them going in and coming out at Jerusalem. So, yes, it seems as if they could have denied him to be part of that local flock for danger of hurting the flock. So if there are rightly established pastors that are watching over, guarding the flock, as God instructs them to do, by the way, those instructions are given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7, Titus chapter 1 beginning with verse 5. There's if you combine those together, you have over 20-something character things, traits that these men are supposed to have before they could ever function in one of these roles. And they are only supposed to watch over, feed, care for, pastor the flock of God, which is among them. Here are the verses, 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and 2, Titus 1, verses 5 through 7, 5 through 10, actually, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, Acts 14, 23, and then the verse that answered the second part of your question, Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. We're going to speed up on some of these questions lest we run out of time. We'll go ahead and get to these questions right after this break. Please know the course that we're about to tell you about is free, and we're happy to send it to you. It is our honor to share with you the treasure God intended for you to have. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're glad that you are with us, and we hope and pray that our efforts to go to the Bible for all the answers are falling on a heart that is sincerely seeking after God. In John 7:17, Jesus said, if any man wills to do his will, there we go, If any man wills to do his will, he shall know whether I speak of myself or some other authority. Our willingness to do what God says has everything to do whether we believe what God says. So I hope and pray that you have the kind of heart that is willing to do what God says, not just listening with your head, but you're listening with your heart, and you're going to be willing to act on what God says. And you have heard many things, not only as we answer questions, but also in the breaks, about how to be ready to prepare to meet God. Please know, if you are interested in hosting a Let the Bible Speak program there in your home, to where we come and answer the questions there in your home, please call the operator standing by and make those arrangements. If you want to get a group of friends and relatives together, we will be glad to do that. Just go ahead and call and give us your information. We'll be back in touch with you and make those arrangement. So call 553-5157. At least roll in the course that you might be able to be blessed from the study of God's Word. But either way, let us help you to receive the riches of His grace so that at the last day when we meet Him, He will be able to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand with God?" Please don't put it off. Go ahead and enroll in the course. 553-5157. We're going to hurry through these last questions.
Kayla calls in. She says, "What does God say about capital punishment?" In Romans, the 13th chapter, what you have is a commandment to adhere to those who in the governing authorities. Chapter 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." We jump down to verse 4. It says, "For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." It would seem from this context that a capital punishment is okay by God for those who are in authority. Let me touch on this other question. A caller says, "We know from Revelation that Yeshua has hair like wool and feet like feet of brass. So why do people depict him as being Caucasian or white?" And so the idea is because his hair is like wool and his feet like brass, that suggests that he's black. I'm not so sure that does. Now, if his feet was ashy, now that might be. So I get ashy feet. I'm kind of making light of this just to simply say this, that we need not worry about what he looked like on the outside when we know who he was on the inside.
Amen.
And the Bible says this in 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." And so it doesn't really matter how people depict him on the outside. We know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. We're going to put off this flesh, and we will have spiritual bodies, and there we'll be with the Lord forever. Very good question. We sure appreciate it. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have Gail calling in this question. She wants to know, can Christians play the lottery? Well, Gail, let me give you the verse that brings out this. It says, "Let him that stole steal no longer." This is Ephesians 4 and verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no longer." Why would someone steal? Well, because they want something that belongs to somebody else, right? For selfish reasons. That would be the motivation, at least most of the time. "Let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands what is good, that he may have to give to him who has need." The whole opposite attitude should be embraced. Many times people want to take belongings that go, things that belong to one another, even if they have agreed into it in some kind of lottery, so that they can have for themselves. Well, that whole attitude is backwards. God wants us to work with our hands that which is good, that we may give to those who are in need. And so the whole mindset seems to be backwards, at least all the people I know that play the lottery. They want to get that big haul, and then they always say, you know, "I'm going to give some back to the Lord if I do that." And so the odds of that is just extreme. The Bible talks about that we can get gifts. We are to work with our hands. Who that doesn't provide for his own is worse, has denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. The Bible tells us we can discover things like the pearl of great price. We can get an inheritance. Jesus condones that. But nowhere does the Bible ever depict that we pool our means together and whoever gets the draw wins. That is just totally foreign to what God has granted or instructed us to do. So, Gail, hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, the number 3089564. You better hurry or we're going to run out of time.
Ernie calls in this question, Genesis chapter 2, God told them not to eat of the fruit or touch it. But in chapter 3, Eve ate it. Why did she do that? Well, she was much like you and I in the flesh, and it was appealing to her. The Bible says in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was, you know, pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it fruit and ate it, and she also gave it to her husband. The idea that she appealed to, or she gave in to the lust of flesh. You know, she gave in to, you know, the pride of life, and she gave in to the lust of the eyes. She gave in to the same things that you and I give in to from time to time. Yeah, she was human, and that's why she did that. And unfortunately, she had not committed her ways to the Lord at that point. Hopefully that's helpful. 3089564. Go ahead and call. We have just a few minutes left. 3089564.
We have this caller calling in. Is there a rapture? Well, let me read the verse of scripture where all of the structure of premillennialism and all of the teaching about the coming of the Lord and the rapture is taken from. And you answer the question as we look at this passage. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will by no means perceive those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So, caller, I would ask you, did you listen carefully? Did you hear the word rapture in that passage? You're right. I didn't either. It's not there, except one of the words can be translated to be rapture. That was the word called up, actually two words there, to be caught up. And many people have taken that one phrase and just built into it an amazing doctrine that is so fantastic that it just absolutely captures the imagination of people of all levels of society today. But let me put all that to rest right quick by sending you to 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. And I don't have time to read it all, so let me just read verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, plural, will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He goes on to say that again in a couple of verses later. That was 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through, just read through the end of the book there, just a few more verses. So take a look at that, and you'll see there's what's going to happen. And that's not symbolic language. That's not confusing. When Christ comes back, that is the end. So please don't get caught up in all this fantastic things that man has come up with and all of this structure of doctrine and events that's going to take place, capturing the imagination. The truth of the matter is when we've got right here and now to make things right. So why not make things right by learning what God wants from his word, not the word of man? Go ahead and call right now, the operator standing by, and get the Bible Correspondence Course to find out what we must do in order to be prepared to meet him. That number, 553-5157, it will be active with a live operator for about five more minutes, so go ahead and call right now, area code 843-553-5157. 5157 and get that course in the mail to you in tomorrow's mail. So please don't miss out on this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our sad news to let you know that we are reaching the end of our program. We've just got a few seconds left. We want you to know you obviously desire to be able to live with God forever. So don't miss out on getting all your answers in the Bible. If you desire to have that personal Bible study and want to assemble a group in your home, call the operator, make that arrangements. We will be more than happy to make those arrangements and that we might be able to answer all your questions live there in your home. If you live some distance from here, we would have to make a schedule for that. So make certain that you don't miss out on that. Thank you for joining us today. We are so thrilled to be able to have been in your home and wherever you're at. We pray that you will continue to search the scriptures as we let the Bible speak.